What I'd like to do is take your rebuttals now, your final statements, and then we'll go back to take final calls as we run out of time. Michael Rupert, because you started the program, I'll let you go now.
Okay. Thank you. This was a hot debate. We mixed it up pretty good. If you look, or your listeners, take the time to look at any website or any arguments supporting the abiotic oil theory, you will find that all of them rely on the same three cases to support their claims. The first is the Dnepr-Donets Basin, which is in the Ukraine, where the Russian scientists allege there was an inexhaustible supply of gas and oil. And Mr. Corsi used it. Everybody uses that one. Well, the fact is that the U.S. Geological Survey says there's only 27 billion barrels of oil there. The world uses about 11 billion barrels, a billion barrels every 11 days. And in case nobody noticed in the news lately, Russia just cut off the natural gas flows through the Ukraine because Ukraine is short of natural gas, 30% short, and they're having to go now to Turkmenistan to get gas. So that's an abject failure in terms of what it's produced. Actually, that basin is in decline. Eugene Island off the coast of Louisiana is one of the other main arguments that the abiotic oil guys use. And the fact is that there were some stories that it was refilling. Thomas Gold wrote his book based upon that. But the U.S. Mining and Minerals Service has shown the reserves in strict decline since 1998. Production is now falling off. It did show a rise in production, but there is not a single geologist there, according to an interview done by the Oil and Gas Journal, that believes that there's anything like abiotic oil refilling Eugene Island. And then the last thing that the abiotic oil people use is the Siljan well, which was drilled in Sweden for Thomas Gold in a meteor crater that cost something like $60 million to drill a few years ago. And they only recovered 80 barrels of oil, and that's less than what was put in the drilling sludge to lubricate the drill bit. They found nothing. It's an abject failure. And even counting that well, that oil was costing $750,000 a barrel. So my point is this. Everything that the abiotic oil people use as proof has failed, abjectly failed. It doesn't sustain their theory. And all of these things that they list are old. There's no new data whatsoever. So if they have any cards, it's time to put them on the table. And here's my last short little observation. One of the most profound statements I ever heard was a young lady saying, you know, I'd rather pray to a God and find out that there wasn't than not pray to a God and find out that there was. When we talk about peak oil, this is my position, this is my philosophy, this is what I've dedicated my life to. I beg all the listeners out there to pay attention and to start looking at their own lives and how they would adjust to life in advance if peak oil were true. You got nothing to lose. It may save your life, it may save your family, and it's happening all over this country. There's hundreds of thousands of people now. There's whole communities, regions that are organizing, preparing for peak oil. The town of Willits, California is already almost all the way off the map. And all I want people to do is to listen to these arguments tonight and keep researching until you're satisfied, but just start thinking about protecting and planning ahead for the possibility that it might be true.
Jerry Corsi, go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to say that Michael Rupert and I disagree about abiotic and peak oil, but I want listeners to know, and Michael, for you to know, that I greatly respect your work, your website. I respect the work you've done. I commend you for it, and I'm honored to be in a debate with you on these subjects.
Well, you are a worthy opponent.
Thank you. I'm going to cite a few things. I'm looking at some surveys from the U.S. Geological Survey, one in 1914. It said the United States would soon run out of oil. Then there's one in 1926. There's one in 1939. There's one in 1949. I've got a stack of these here that says that the world is running out of oil. The United States is running out of oil. I'm going to refer to a speech that Jimmy Carter gave on April 18th, 1977, in which he projected that we would have used all the proven oil reserves of the world by the end of the 1980s. I'm going to remind the listeners that none of these predictions have ever come true. We still have more oil than we ever have. I'm going to go back to the arguments that I've made There are specific refutations for the issues that Michael brought up of these specific cases. I'm maintaining that all the oil and natural gas we're finding is abiotic in nature, not just some of it. It's all abiotic. And finally, we're maintaining that there are economics of this. The book Black Gold Stranglehold is the politics of oil. The oil companies made $100 billion a year last year. We have a 7-point solution in that book for solving these problems. And number one is we've got to make sure that the oil companies lose their tax benefits and incentives unless they increase the supply of oil, diesel fuel, and natural gas, and gasoline in the system. We need more refineries. We need more of their reserves to come online. We need to have the people understand that there is abundant oil in the world and we need it in production. So thank you, George. I also commend your show. It's been a wonderful opportunity to be here again. And thank you for the excellent opportunity to speak with your audience.